Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the privilege and opportunity to talk with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story with us. So I'd like to say hello to Molly. Hey, Molly, how's it going?
I'm doing good.
I'm really happy that you were a guest on the show and really looking forward to hearing your story. So to get us started, would you mind introducing yourself, telling us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy?
Well, my name is Molly Kotchik, and I'm 23 years old. I live in Coopersburg, Pennsylvania, and I actually just got home from a 11-month mission trip to 11 different countries. So right now I'm just chilling with family and friends.
Wow, 11 countries in 11 months. Oh my goodness, that sounds like so intense.
It is. It really is, and it's so incredible. It really is.
How did you get involved in doing missionary work?
Well, in 2010, I was kind of in a rough place, and kind of low with everything, and I kind of found it. I kind of was on Facebook and this website for adventures and missions just came up, and I was just looking at it, and I came across the World Race, and they have many squads that are launched at different times of the year, and I left last July, and it was great. I went to Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, Albania, Romania, South Africa, Mozambique, Swaziland, Thailand, Cambodia, and Malaysia.
Oh my God, that seems like just like a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Oh yeah.
Now you said you just like found this site on Facebook, and what you just like responded to the ad, and somebody got in touch with you. I mean, is that how
well,
it worked?
Not really. When I say I found it, I mean that this whole, I did not click on anything at all, and it just popped up, and I do think that was God's way of telling me, this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to run yourself into the ground. This is the way I'm gonna help you, and I'm telling you, without this trip, I have no clue what I would be doing right now. Probably not in a good place. So I was really happy of the choice that I made. I really was.
Now, who else was like on this, you called it a like a world squad?
Well, there were 50 of us on one squad. We were all across the US, even one from Canada. And we were split up into teams. And what happens is we travel to the countries together, but then once we're in a country, we split up and go to various ministries.
So, were there people your own age that were also part of this trip?
Yes, there were ages. The ages are 21 to 35, and I know the team I was on. I was not the youngest because I'm 23, but I was kind of in the center. We did have a 29 year old on our team, so it kind of varied.
So you said that when you got to each country, you were kind of split up. So, like, what did you do? Like, what exactly, was the work that you did?
Well, it all depends on the country and the kind of ministry that we are with. The first country, Ecuador, we did groundbreaking and support walls for a church. And so that was really hard work for the first month. And I thought, hey, if I'm gonna do this every month, I'm gonna die. But that wasn't the case. Like, the second one was evangelism, going door to door. And that was all right. But then there were other times, like in Bolivia, working with the street children and watching children while their mothers work, so they don't have to go back on the streets, and working with campus crusaders and doing sports camps and teaching. We in the Asian countries, we did a lot with sex trafficking and talking to women and just kind of rescuing children out of that and preventing it from happening it to children at risk for it.
Oh my
So
gosh, that just it sounds like such an amazing learning and growth opportunity, as well as obviously very spiritual and very empowering. You must be like so full of emotion just having recently returned.
I totally am. Like, the first couple of days, I was kind of culture shock because us as Americans, we have a lot and we are spoiled. And from coming to a countries where I have had to take bucket showers and all of that, and just see children walk around with no clothes, not just because they want to, but because they don't have any. And it was kind of like I kind of went into my closet and I was like, I didn't know what to wear, because I lived out of a backpack that I only had 20 pairs of clothing. So coming home to a full closet, I was like, what do I do? So.
Wow. So yeah, I mean, culture shock actually seems to be like an understatement for what you're probably really feeling.
Oh yeah, totally was.
Let me ask you, was there a language barrier for you in the other countries?
We were actually really, really blessed. In every country, we had someone who spoke, who spoke English, especially in the Spanish-speaking countries. It was easier, 'cause one of our team members was a fluent. So that wasn't as hard as I thought it would be.
And speaking of the word fluent, since you bring it up, what was the experience like for you as a woman who stutters? Was your stuttering an impact at all while you were doing your work?
It was growing up, I had a really hard time with it. I really had a hard time with the teasing and the taunting. And even at the age I am now, I would go order something and I would be laughed at. But going into the race, I had no clue what to expect. So I had kind of I had I did have walls up, but it was crazy. In Peru, I met a man who he said he hadn't talked until he was 17 because he had a speech problem, or he had something that just would not allow him to talk. And then one day, God told him to talk, and he did, and he was able to speak fluently. And that kind of opened my eyes to be thankful that I can talk, and that even though I do stutter, I have a lot of strength within me, and I have the strength of God to guide me and to make me stronger. The l last month, I worked at a deaf and not the deaf, deaf and blind center, and just seeing the people adapt to their blindness, like they were able to weave baskets and do all of that, and they're blind. And I was just so thankful that, yeah, I complain about my stuttering, and I kind of question, like all those years that I was like, oh, I hate it, oh, I wish I could talk normal, like I do. But I'm just grateful that I have what I have.
Wow, it seems like this opportunity that you had has like taught you so many things on so many different levels.
Oh, yeah.
How did you handle, like when you were over in an unfamiliar country and working with people that you've never met before? Like, did you tell people that you stutter? Did you disclose it voluntarily, or did you just kind of like let people figure it out for themselves, or how did you handle that?
At first, I would tell them just to get it over with, but towards the end, I started not to say anything. Because I guess I was like, if they notice it, they will ask me, and if not, then I guess to them it's not that big of a deal. Now, it was hard because children are young. Children don't know better, so it was hard trying to talk to children and them kind of laugh. But I would tell them like I can't help it, and they're like, "Oh, okay." But and also like some like I know this is gonna sound really funny, but it's kind of like they don't understand English, so they probably think that I'm talking regularly. So that kind of helped in a way, a little bit.
That doesn't sound funny at all. I mean, that almost kind of like makes sense to me that it would be like almost like a little safety net that you used.
Yes,
It
I
kind of,
did.
Did you have any trouble with any adults like reacting negatively or, being rude or, teasing you or anything?
Not really. Adults, not that I can remember. Like, I know towards the beginning I would automatically tell them so they won't look at me like I have two heads. But I don't know. I don't remember any of the adults that I know that questioned it or gave me a hard time.
Now, what did your family think about you making this decision that this was something that you were going to do and that you were going to travel all over the world?
Well, first, my mom thought it was just a phase and that I would get over it and that it wouldn't happen. But then when she realized that I applied, that I had the phone interview, which let me tell you was so horrible because I was so nervous that I didn't get anything out. And I told her, I'm like, I swear I'm not on drugs. But my family was very supportive of me and of the choices that I made. And actually, while I was over there, they would constantly tell me that they are so proud of me and that they considered me one of their heroes, and that the blogs that I write are so inspirational for them to do more.
Oh, wow. That must have really made you feel good.
It made me feel so good. It's like when my mom told me that I was one of her heroes, like I almost cried because she has always been my rock, and it really touched me.
Now,
Yeah.
you mentioned that you were writing blogs, so did you keep an account sort of or like a journal of your experiences while you were over there?
I actually have a blog website on our website, theworldrace.org. I have a website that I blog, and so you can actually check it out on mollykotchick.theworldrace.org, and it's really good just to read them, because I do have some blogs that I wrote of stuttering and how much I've come past that, and just tearing down the walls that I have had.
I'd be very interested in checking that out, and I'm glad that you also told us what the link is, because maybe some other people that might be listening to this might want to check that out too, because as I'm sure you're aware, many people who stutter find acceptance to be so difficult, and sometimes we really let the stuttering kind of consume us. And
yeah,
it seems like you've, I don't know, I mean, I don't know you, but it sounds like just listening to you, it seems almost kind of like you've made some peace with it, maybe?
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I've made a lot of peace with it. Going into the race, it's kind of hard to explain. I kind of hated my stuttering. I still don't love it, but I no longer hate it. I no longer think of it as a disabler. I think of it as something that made me stronger, that helped me get the courage I need to build me up.
So it almost sounds like, instead of, because you use the word disabler, it almost sounds like your stuttering has become an enabler for you to do bigger and better things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Now, you also mentioned, and I made a note to myself to go back to this. You said that the interview that you had was over the telephone, and I know that for a lot of people who stutter, myself included, the telephone can be very, very challenging. Is the phone tough for you typically?
I remember that time it was, just because I was really nervous and didn't want to screw it up. Sometimes I do have trouble, but last night I talked to a friend and I didn't stutter at all. So it all depends on the day.
Mm-hmm. So you think that the day that you had the interview for the race, it was more just because it was the stress of it being an interview and not necessarily just something over the phone?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Totally. Because I even had, I'm not sure if you ever heard of it, the Speakeasy. I had that, and it didn't do anything. Like, it was still horrible, but that's because just hormones and it just being really high and just really nervous, and it just counteracted it, and it was just really, really bad.
Yes, I have heard of the Speakeasy. Do you use that?
I did. I kind of lost it, but I did use to have it, and I liked it. It did help for some. It can take the stutter away completely. For some, it can be half and half, and for others, it doesn't work at all. There were days that I spoke pretty clear, and then there were days I had trouble. So it works. Like, I would recommend that people should try it, but it also depends on the person. in.
Now, how did you learn about the Speakeasy?
I heard it from my uncle. He, growing up as a child, he had a stuttering along with my mom, his sister. So he was doing some research on it, and he told me. So
So stuttering runs in your family.
yes,
Is there
but
anybody in your is there anybody else in your immediate family that stutters?
no, my uncle, he no longer stutters, and my mom no longer stutters. But all that, like, we are the only ones in our family that I know of.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have a younger sister who is 17.
And how has she been, as a sibling dealing with your stuttering? Has she been supportive?
Yeah, she's really supportive. If I get stuck on a board, she'll help me. Before the race, I would hate when people would try to finish my sentences, because I would think that they are trying to rush me. But the race taught me that they're just trying to help. So now I welcome her help, and she's very supportive and loving, and it's just one wonderful.
Now, is she still in high school?
Yeah, she will be a senior this year.
Wow. And what's your next step now that you're back? What's your plan at this point?
I'm gonna go back to work as a certified nursing assistant, and then I'm looking into going back to school. I was going for my RN, but I'm gonna go for radiology and ultrasound tech.
Oh, cool. And now you said that you're a CNA, so do you work in like a nursing home or a
Yes.
hospital?
I work at a nursing home, with the elderly.
And
So,
how is it with your speech on the job?
it's so. Sometimes I have my bad days. It's kind of hard with the old timers for residents, because old timers is a debilitating disease, and some residents go back to a child. So when trying to talk to them, they kind of mimic me. So it's kind of frustrating when you're trying to talk to them. But that's why I know this job is for me, because I got the patience for it, and I love them, and so yeah.
It sounds like you're definitely a service-oriented person. It sounds like you derive a lot of happiness by helping others.
Yes, I do. I have always been that way. Even as a child, I've been outgoing. I have never let my stuttering kind of hold me back or do things that I do things that I think do things that I love.
That's good. That's good, because I know a lot of people do the complete opposite, because they, you know, they feel that they're not good enough because of their stuttering. I kind of experienced that myself for a long time. I felt like I needed to do everything that I could to hide my stutter, because, you know, I thought that it made me less than other people. So it took me a long time to realize that that's not true, and that I can still be an effective communicator. But I did allow myself to not do certain things that I wanted to, because I was afraid of other people's reactions. So it's really cool to hear that you never let that get in the way.
Yeah, I'm really happy that I was always able to push through it.
Did you ever have therapy?
Yes, I had therapy since I was 3. And in high school, it was really hard because the speech therapist that I had since middle school had a child, and so she left. So they had a hard time keeping a speech therapist. So they had a different one every year, and with each therapist, they have their own techniques, and so my senior year, I just kind of blew it off because I was like, you know what, this really isn't helping me, and you're wasting my time. So I kind of blew it off.
Do you feel that any of the school-based therapy that you had did help you?
A little bit. I don't know, because in school, I also had ADHD, attention deficit hyperactive disorder. Mm-hmm. So even during therapy, I was kind of jumping off the wall. So it was kind of hard to even pay attention. But I do think that some of the techniques that I still kind of use now.
Mm-hmm. So. And what about support? Like, are you involved at all in the self-help community? Do you attend like stuttering support groups or anything?
I don't know if there are any in my area, but I do belong to a couple stuttering support groups over Facebook.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of those?
I think they're really cool. Some of the information is really, really good. And there are times if I have a bad day, or if someone made fun of me or anything, I just put it up there to kind of vent, and it's kind of good to get feedback from others kind of in the same situation. So it is really good. It is really good to have that kind of helplet to go to when you don't know what to do, almost.
Yeah. Have you ever met another person close to your own age that stutters?
Not personally. I know in college, a teacher asked me to help this kid kind of get acquainted to the school, and he did have a stuttering problem, and he was actually the first person I actually have ever heard who stuttered. So it was kind of cool and kind of odd to hear him, because it's kind of almost like hearing myself. So I could kind of relate to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was more closed about his stutter than I am. So I tried to ask him about it, and he kind of changed the subject. So I kind of avoided that.
Yeah. It's difficult sometimes when you do meet another person who stutters. For me anyway, it's kind of hard to, you know, figure out internally, should I say something? You know, maybe they would want to know that, you know, that they're not the only one, or if I say something, like, will it offend them? You know, so it's kind of like you kind of, you know, just have to go with the flow, and it sounds like you did the right thing to kind of just respect where he was coming from and just, you know, not bring it up unless he chose to.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So what's it like for you to be having this conversation with me? Is this the first time you've chatted with another woman that stutters?
Yeah. I think it is the first time. I think only the other times I've talked to men.
Mm-hmm. So, like, what's it like? What's going through your head? Is it, like, weird or odd to listen to somebody else that stutters that's also female?
No, actually, I think what you're doing is amazing. Your whole chat and your whole podcast is really, really good, and it's really inspiring, and it's really good to talk to you, and it's actually really good to talk to someone who does have a stutter, because I do feel sometimes when I talk to people who don't, I kind of feel like they're rushing me, but they don't really want to say anything.
Yeah, so. I totally get that. So I think I find it very helpful to be able to talk with other people who stutter, particularly women, because we share the experience, and sometimes it's just really helpful to be able to talk to somebody who totally gets it. So and thank you for the kind comments about the podcast. I think it's important because there's some women out there who have never talk to other women, and sometimes I've even talked to people, men especially, who didn't even know that women stutter. You know, so
Wow. Yeah,
that's what my reaction was the first time I talked to a guy who was like, women stutter too? So yeah, I just think it's really important for us to be able to give voice to our stories. Like you have here, I mean, for just being 23 years old, you just have had so many incredible experiences that certainly are probably going to shape your life forever at this point, wouldn't you say?
Oh, totally. Like, I will never regret the decision that I had made to go on this trip. It totally changed me. It totally made me a stronger believer, and it totally made me so grateful grateful on what I have. Even though I do stutter, I'm just grateful to be alive and to have a wonderful family.
Wow, that's such an amazing, healthy, positive attitude to have.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It was really good talking to you.
And thank you, Molly, very much for being on the show. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.